Leader of the Islamic Revolution appreciates Iran's 9th and 10th governments. Iran's president-elect says nations should try their best to create spirit of cooperation. Iran's president unveils 13 recombinant drugs. Iran and UAE urge prevention of Egyptian clashes. And Mohammed El-Baradei sworn in as Egypt's vice president. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to the late edition of IRIN in English News with me, Nima Shitsas. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, appreciated Iran's 9th and 10th governments for their hard work and sincere efforts in the past 8 years. In a meeting with President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and his cabinet members, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The 9th and 10th governments have been successful in highlighting the ideals and mottos of Iran's Islamic Revolution in domestic and foreign arenas, pointing to attempts made by enemies, oppositions, foreign media, and some groups inside the country in downgrading the government." The leader said, "These groups ignore even the very tangible achievements of the government, but the key point is that all should try to keep in mind the attempts and endeavors dedicated by the government across the country." Ayatollah Khamenei further said, "During the past 8 years, Iranians have been witnessing the quality and quantity of achievements of the 9th and 10th governments, and this fact should be highlighted." The leader warned that the enemies of the Islamic Revolution have always tried to devalue the ideals and mottos of Iran's Islamic Revolution. However, the leader added, "Because of the existence of a vigilant leader, Imam Khomeini, they have failed." Ayatollah Khamenei said, "One of the great works done by the 9th and 10th governments was announcing the ideals and mottos of Iran's Islamic Revolution in international arenas with pride." Iran's president-elect Dr. Hassan Rouhani stressed on the close cooperation between Iran's parliament and the executive body, saying, "Giving services and resolving different problems will not be achieved without constructive cooperation between the two bodies." Speaking in Iran's Majlis-e-Oli parliament, Rouhani said, "The greatness of Iran's parliament will lead to the greatness of the Iranian nation." He further said, "A mighty parliament will make the government powerful." Stressing on the rule of law, the president-elect said, "Without obeying the law, the country will not be in order," adding that most of the current economic and social problems have been the result of illegal actions. He further said, "The law itself cannot create cooperation. We need something more, which is moral ethics." Rouhani said the support of the leadership, people's trust, and close cooperation between the country's three branches of power will play a key role in creating the spirit of cooperation across the country. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad unveiled 13 recombinant drugs on Sunday, saying they will reduce Iran's need to import drugs. The unveiling ceremony was held in the Pardis Tech Park in capital Tehran. At the ceremony, the president wished that Iran would witness a day when all fundamental needs are provided inside the country. He further hailed efforts made by all Iranian scholars, technomen, managers, experts, and investors. Earlier in the day, the president inaugurated three major national projects in Pardis Tech Park. After inauguration of the technological and innovative projects, the president visited different parts of the park to become familiar with various activities being done there. Foreign ministers of Iran and the United Arab Emirates have stressed the importance of restoration of democracy in Egypt and called for the prevention of Egyptian-Egyptian clashes. In a telephone conversation, Iran's foreign minister and his Emirati counterpart exchanged views on the latest developments in Egypt. The two ministers emphasized that democracy should be restored in Egypt. Ali Akbar Salehi and Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed called for the continuation of bilateral talks and agreed to hold a meeting at the earliest. Egyptian prominent figure Mohammed El-Baradei has been sworn in as the country's interim vice president for foreign relations. El-Baradei took his oath of office before the head of Egypt's interim government, Adli Mansour. El-Baradei's swearing in came on the same day as the Egyptian prosecutors began questioning ousted President Mohamed Morsi and the members of Muslim Brotherhood Party over their involvement in a 2011 prison break. Morsi and his colleagues are also accused of spying, inciting violence, and damaging the economy. Meanwhile, the ousted president's supporters have held fresh rallies in Cairo to demand his return to power. Senior Muslim Brotherhood figure Osama Rayan said the rule of law has ended in Egypt. Today, the rule of law has ended in Egypt. They are holding a court hearing inside a prison. This is something that has never happened before in Egypt history. To hold a court hearing in prison, to stop lawyers, 40 of them, even from entering and attending the hearing. Is this a state that abides by law? 1 week before, he was forced out by a military coup. President Morsi received many calls from U.S. President Obama while he was in Africa. In all those calls, Obama told him to make concessions and to agree, otherwise there would be a military coup, which Obama could not or did not want to prevent. Dr. Morsi refused with all pride, the pride of Islam and the dignity of a free Egyptian, to follow the dictates from Obama. He said, the people have chosen me and I am carrying out what the Egyptian people want. In the meantime, EU's foreign policy chief says a 28-member bloc was following developments in Egypt with deep concern. Deploring recent violence in Egypt, Catherine Ashton called for prompt elections in the country. She said the military must accept and respect the constitutional authority of the civilian power. Ashton also stressed the importance of holding democratic elections in the shortest possible time and called for dialogue between all political groups committed to democracy. EU foreign policy chief urged the interim authorities to make every effort so that politically motivated arrests and other forms of harassment do not take place. The Syrian army has found toxic chemical agents after seizing a factory operated by foreign-backed militants fighting the government. The army says the chemical materials were found at the factory in the town of Jabar, which was used by militants before Syrian forces gained control of the area. The Syrian army also claimed that the materials were intended to be used for making mortar shells. Over the past months, Syrian government has frequently accused Takfiri rebels of using chemical weapons. On July 10, Russian foreign minister said foreign-backed rebels in Syria had used chemical weapons. Sergei Lavrov added the shells and substances were made last February in the Syrian territory, which at that time was under the control of Syrian opposition groups and made by one of the affiliated armed groups. This comes as Syrians have been dealing with growing cost of living more than 2 years after the unrest broke out in the country. Syrians believe besides the foreign-backed armed conflict in the country, the current situation is also being blamed on sanctions imposed by the Arab League and some regional and Western nations. In some instances, the price of basic food have doubled or tripled. Prior to the unrest, each US dollar was reportedly worth 50 Syrian pounds, which is currently worth 250. Experts say the rise in prices is also the result of goods in high demand being sold at unrealistic prices. Violence, including a series of bombings in central and south Iraq, has killed at least 50 people and injured more than 130 others on Sunday, making July one of the deadliest months in the country. Bombings and shootings happened in Kut, south of Baghdad, Hilla, north, port city of Basra, Nineveh, Mosul, Fallujah, and Bakuba. The attacks are just the latest in a surge of violence in which more than 2,600 people have died so far this year. A roadside bomb went off in Yemen's southern province of Abyan, injuring 3 soldiers and 2 civilians. A government source said on condition of anonymity that there was a roadside bomb near a key army site in the outskirts of Abyan. 3 soldiers and 2 civilians were hurt in the explosion. Yemeni security services have repeatedly blamed militants of the Yemen-based Al-Qaeda offshoot for a series of assassination attacks, mostly in the country's southern regions. The overwhelming majority of Portuguese people believe corruption has increased over the past 2 years, essentially the period during which the country has been subjected to strict terms imposed upon by the bailout troika of international lenders. Our correspondent has a scoop from Lisbon.
Corruption may well be something which unfortunately all societies share, but for the Portuguese it is impossible to ignore its increase during the last years. For 70% of the population, corruption is a serious or very serious problem in the public sector. 8 in 10 Portuguese believe that corruption has increased in the past 2 years, and the majority say that the government is in the hands of a narrow set of economical groups. The discredit in the government and public institutions doesn't have only to do with the policies implemented, but with the mistrust of its procedures and employees. The report that revealed these numbers also indicates that 60% of Portuguese believe that personal contacts are important to get a service or to accelerate procedures in public sectors. It becomes even a necessary behavior if all the other doors seem to be closed. The majority of the population doesn't trust justice mechanisms to work or to prevent corruption. When asked, people avoid to speak about it, but it is common to find who has been a witness of a case of corruption. Corruption is not exclusive from one country, and there's even who consider it to be one of the oldest businesses in the whole world. Still, in a country suffering from economical and financial crisis, it becomes more obvious if one decides to only benefit itself and not the whole society. Inês Sutil, Shabaka Kabar, Lisbon.
A toll of 50 serving and veteran British soldiers committed suicide last year, more than those who were killed fighting in Afghanistan. Britain's Ministry of Defense confirmed that 7 serving soldiers killed themselves in 2012 and a further 14 died in suspected suicides. An investigation by the BBC found that at least 29 veterans also took their lives last year. However, there are no official figures. This is while a total of 40 British soldiers died in action in Afghanistan in the same period. 3 more people have been confirmed dead due to continuous rain that has lashed the city of Yan'an in northwest China's Shaanxi province since July 3rd. The local government said the incident brought the death toll to 26. Downpours have left 116 people injured and affected 260,000 others affected across 5 counties due to floods and landslides. The rain has caused 3,710 landslides and cut off traffic on more than 120 roads, with direct economic losses estimated to total $236 million. Growing fruit and vegetables can be slow and a back-breaking work. But what if you had a machine that could lend an automated hand? U.S. engineers from the Silicon Valley use a software to ensure lettuce bud is eliminating the right leafy buds. Lettuce bud is a machine that can thin a field of lettuce in a time that it takes about 20 workers to do the job by hand.
So thinning is an operation where some plants are removed to give space for these other plants. And the nice thing about lettuce bud is that it does it automatically, it does it very fast, and it does it in a better way with more information than a human can. So what we can do is, with this technology, we can look at every plant and do things more precisely. We could more precisely fertilize, we can more precisely apply chemicals and only to the plants that need it. We can kill weeds without having to blanket spray things.
That labor is getting more difficult to find, and having something automated like this can reduce the amount of people we need to do a field. It could also, hopefully over the long term, could reduce costs and increase quality.
We are one more step in a very long series of steps that have been taken to first mechanize and now automate agriculture.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of RIN English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.